Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence. So we'll be in Proverbs chapter 31 in verses 10 through 31. Here's how we're going to tackle this passage this morning. We'll do a little bit of context and background work kind of at the beginning. Now, we're not going to read all of it straight through, okay? We're not going to read verses 10 through 31. Normally, we would read all the verses, and then as our normal pattern is, we would come back to the top and kind of work through. Today, we're going to take a little bit different approach because, as we'll see, Proverbs 31 is a unique proverb, psalm, if you even want to put it in that kind of category, with words of wisdom. And we're going to look at it thematically. And so what we'll do is we'll group verses together that have the same theme, and we'll read those, and then we'll talk about that theme, and then we'll go to the next theme and read those verses, and so forth and so on. So you can go back at home and read it all straight through, 10 through 31, but we're going to look at it thematically this morning. So we'll kind of hop around, but we'll be in verses 10 through 31. Sound good? I hope so, because that's what we're doing. All right, here we go. So Proverbs is written, or all of the Proverbs are generally believed by scholars and authors to be have been written by Solomon, as we'll see today. This one is not, it does not originate from Solomon, but it actually originates from a lady, a mother, actually. We don't even know her name. All we have is her son's name, and it's the mother of King Lemuel. Now, the natural question would be, well, Pastor, who is King Lemuel? That's a great question. We really don't know. We really don't know really where he's from, who he was, but it kind of makes sense. Solomon, we do have understanding, because Solomon was obviously a very wise person, and that being the at the height of the united monarchy in Israel, which was the largest at the time, people heard of his wisdom and they would come to him, and there would be court interaction. And so it's not hard to imagine that somehow he gained access to Lemuel's mother's words to him. And so he recorded them, and that's how we have them in Proverbs. So that's kind of the broad context. Specifically to chapter 31, what you have is a mother who is telling her son, the king, what to look for, or what to watch out for. And in verses 10 through 31, she's very specific. In fact, you can look at verse 10 right here. An excellent wife, who can find? Right? And that's kind of how she opens the thing. And so, really, this is a... obviously, it's Mother's Day. We're going to talk about it in relationship to mothers. But I promise, moms, when we get to the application point, there is application for everybody. There's application for fathers, mothers, and even for kids, specifically young men. We got some young men in the room? You need to listen up, okay? Because here's the reality. The reality is this psalm, or this proverb, is written to a mom on who her son should look for in a wife. That's really the gist of it. So really, if we had like teenager day, this would be a great day for teenagers. Because it's mom's advice on who to look for in a wife so that you have a good life. Like, I put that rhyme together, didn't I? That's pretty good. All right. All right, we're rolling today. All right, here we go. All right, so this psalm is a unique combination of two structures. I won't go into great detail about this, but just I want to give them to you. First is it's an alphabetic psalm. What that means is that every successive line in verses 10 through 31 starts with the next letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? And so they go all the way down. The second thing is it's a chiastic psalm. All that means is the main point is in the middle, not at the beginning or the end. But again, we're going to look at it thematically. So the main point is actually in the middle of the proverb, or kind of this kind of wisdom idea. But today, again, like I said, we're going to look at it thematically. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the opening, kind of the beginning and the end is how I've got it outlined on your handout, and that'll be verses 10 and then 30 and 31, and then we'll kind of jump into the middle. All right, so let's read 10. Here it is. 10, an excellent wife, who can find? That doesn't mean nobody can find an excellent wife. It just is highlighting the importance of how important it is for a young man to find an excellent wife. And in fact, that question dominates the entire rest of the passage. Lemuel's mother is going to explain what to look for the person who she describes as an excellent wife, right? And here she says, she is far more precious than jewels. Your translation may say something like rubies. That's appropriate translation as well. And the idea is that as expensive and as valuable as precious gemstones are, rubies, sapphires, diamonds, all of that, an excellent wife is even more valuable than the most expensive gemstone you can have. And so she's hot out of the box, so to speak. Like, his mother's like, hey, look, I want you to know that this is the most important thing you can do. Not riches, not gold and silver. No, this, what I'm about to tell you, is the most important thing that you can find in your entire life. Now, she bookends that in verses 30 and 31 by saying this. Charm is, we'll read both of these. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Verse 31. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. All right, so like, hey, look. Let's just be real. Can we be we young adults to adults in the room? We don't all look like what we did in our wedding photos, well, except for some of y'all. Y'all young. Can we agree on that? Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jay. I appreciate it. I know I don't. Look, we got one hanging up beside our bed. Yeah. I got a whole lot more gray right here and up here than I did in that picture. Right? And look, let's be real. We don't all look the same as we did. Now, we hope we do. Right? But charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. Like, it passes away. And that's just the way life is. It's okay. Ain't no need to be mad about it. It's just part of it. It's going to happen to all of us. Right? And what he says is the key fact. Here's kind of the point that he bookends. An excellent wife, who can find? Well, what is the determining factor of an excellent wife? And you could sum all of this up in this one line. It's not charm. It's not how charmful you are. And it's not how beautiful you are. That's not what makes an excellent wife. What does he say? Or what does she say makes an excellent wife? But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. In other words, the single determining factor of what determines this is an excellent wife from not is one who fears the Lord. Now you say, what does fear mean? We've talked about, if our Wednesday morning group, we've talked about this at length the past several weeks. Fear doesn't mean like shaking and quaking. Now, there's a tinge of healthy fear, but the main idea is to be in awe and wonder. So in other words, the excellent wife is, this whole idea is bookended by this idea or answers the question. The excellent wife is the one who is in awe, who is in awe and wonder at what the Lord, who the Lord is, what he has done and what he can do. Verse 31. Thus, the one who fears the Lord, the one who is in awe and wonder of the Lord, look what she can do. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. In other words, because she has an awe and a reverence and a respect and honors the Lord with her life, you can give her everything that she does and other people will say, wow, what a great lady. Look at what all she's done. Look at what the Lord has done through her. In other words, she doesn't have to be worried about her actions or people's reactions to her actions because her actions are always ones that bring praise, honor, and glory to the Lord. Right? And so that's how Lemuel's mother bookends this kind of advice to her son. Hey, an excellent wife, who can find? Well, she is more precious than the most precious thing that you can come up with in your mind right now, buddy. And the answer to how do you determine that, what's the determining factor? She fears the Lord. Because if she fears the Lord, who she is and what she does will bring her praise and will bring God honor in everything that she does. Now, the natural question is, okay, what does she do? And that's the middle section of this passage. The middle section answers the question, what does the excellent wife who fears the Lord do? Day in and day out. And I got several ideas. I want to kind of, thematic ideas I want to capture this morning. The first one is this, and we're going to read about seven verses to go along with this one. She is a consistent creator. a consistent creator. Let's read a few verses. Verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She considers and buys, considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle that's weaving. Verse 22. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. She makes linen garments and sells them, and she delivers sashes to the merchant. Got one more. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. That's a great imagery there. All right, so what is the, again, what is the entire idea that all of these verses encapsulate? She is a, the excellent wife who fears the Lord is a consistent creator. All right, so years ago, I met a guy. He's been super impactful in my life. Unfortunately, I was only able to be around him for 2 weeks. They were like 2 years apart. So 1 week, skip a year or two, the next week. And it was because he was a youth summer camp speaker. His name was John Randles. We all called him Randles. He was a fascinating character. I mean, an amazing guy. Lived in Texas. He was the most unique and challenging summer camp speaker we ever had when I was youth pastor in Athens. And so he met with us one time down in South Georgia and one time over in South Carolina where we had summer camp with our teenagers. And he had the story he told. And it was about sharks, and he called them, you know, the little amoras, those feeder fish? He called them feeder fish. And he said, you got two people in life. He said, everybody falls into two categories. He said, you're either a shark or you're a feeder fish. And you're like, and I mean, you could see it over the teenager's face, like, what is this guy talking about? Right, so he goes on to explain. He said, what do sharks do? They're active. They hunt. They fend for themselves. They take care of themselves. They live life. He said, what does a feeder fish do? Nothing. Waits on everybody else to do whatever they have to do. And then they react. He said, they're not act. They just, I mean, yeah, they swim around, but they're not hunting. They're not catching fish for themselves. They're waiting for the shark to do all the work, and then they get all the crumbs. And you're like, man, that's great, right? Sharks are favorite. What do you think this lady is? She's a shark, buddy. She's not going, oh, well, I hope it goes my way today. Oh, I hope it all works out. No, she, what's she doing? She says she is buying a field and planting a vineyard. That's amazing. And if you consider the culture in which this was written, like, ladies, y'all didn't do that in this culture. But what does she do? She knows the worth of her materials. Like, she weaves, it says, and she creates. And she knows the value of what she does such that she can go out and sell her goods and make a profit on what she's doing. She's not waiting like the little feeder fish, kind of, oh, well, I hope the shark kills something today. Maybe I'll eat today. No, what does she do? She's active in the world. She's consistently creating. She's a shark, right? Thus, the excellent wife is the one who consistently adds value, right? She doesn't divest. She invests. She doesn't distract. She pushes toward the Lord and pushes toward the good for her family. She is a consistent creator. Here's the second one, and we'll look at just two verses. She's a provider, verses 14 and 15. All right, here we go. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Now, I am so glad. Now, provider in this sense, the Lemuel's mother highlights two areas, and basically they're both around making sure her family is fed. I am so thankful that Lemuel did not say, and her whole family ate all of their vegetables and a well-balanced three-course meal. Right? Because I don't know how your kids were, but ours survive on mac and cheese and chicken nuggets. Come on. Y'all kids did that. Y'all can, you know what I'm talking about, right? Chicken nuggets, mac and cheese, and maybe French fries, right? But what's the point here? She's a
provider. She makes sure that her family has what it needs to make it through the day.
I'm so glad that he did not say that. The point is that an excellent wife, that Lemuel's mother is saying, this is who you should look for, should be a provider at heart. Number three, she's generous, verses 20 and 26.
Now, I want you to look at the imagery that both of these verses have. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She opens her mouth with wisdom and teaching of kindness is on her tongue. So what does she do? She walks around with open hands to the world. It's not... Here. It's not mine. It's... Here you go. That's huge. Look at it. It's open hands and open mouth. That means she's open-handed with the possessions that her family has and orients their life toward giving and giving generously. But it's not just with her possessions. It's also with her words.
Because verse 26 says, she opens her mouth and speaks kindness and wisdom. So in other words, she's open-handed with her material possessions and open-handed with her wisdom and knowledge. So in other words, she's generous in giving stuff, material possessions, to meet a need. She's generous in giving advice to those who need it. So the excellent wife who Lemuel's mother saying her son should look for is one who is generous at heart, not just in one area, but in all areas. Right? All right. Next. She is not afraid. Let's read verses 21 and the second half of 25. Here we go. She is not afraid of snow, for her household are clothed in scarlet. And verse 25, just the last half. And she laughs at the time to come. Now, all right. So Lemuel's mother is saying, hey, she's not afraid. But let's be honest, and because there's a little bit more behind just the not afraid. Because there's a lot of things in life that you that are, let's be honest, they're a little scary. Right? So the point is that she's not walking around life completely carefree and careless, like, hey, I don't care what happens. We'll be all right. No, that's not the attitude. Why is she not afraid of the snow? Well, it says because her household are clothed in scarlet. In other words, they are prepared because they have the adequate things they need for the season that is coming. The reason she's not worried about the snow and the cold is because there, as a family, they are prepared. Why does she laugh at the time to come? Because they are prepared. So the idea is, it's not that you should just be careless and carefree. That's not the attitude that Lemuel's mother is saying. Rather, you can not have to like dread and fret and worry about what might even not happen in the future because you're prepared the best you can for what might happen. And so really the idea is that she's prepared more than anything. All right, let's move on. Verses 17 and 25. Strength and dignity define her. Now, you could take all that we've talked about so far, and you could boil it down to these two verses. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Verse 25, strength and dignity
are her clothing. In other words, you could take all that we've talked about so far. Consistent creator,
being generous, being prepared, being a provider, and all of that.
And you could boil it all down into these two categories. So again, excellent wife we can find. It is the defining characteristic is she is in awe and wonder of the Lord. And so what does she do? She is, the defining characteristics are strength and dignity.
Now, I want to give you these. Now, I did. I literally laughed out loud as I was looking up the kind of definition for these words. And I thought, oh boy, this one's going to be rough. The shake hands line is going to be tough when I tell you ladies what these words mean. So, don't shoot the messenger. The word strength means to be stout. Wait for it. The word dignity literally means to swell up.
There you go. literally means to swell up. To get fat is what it means, literally. However, there's a little dot, dot, dot with that. Because dignity doesn't just mean to swell up and get fat, but it has a nuance of to swell up with magnificence. Yes. To get fat with magnificence. And so the two words, when you put them together, mean to be stout, to be strong, to strengthen, and to swell up with magnificence. And so in other words, what he is trying to say is these words encapsulate, define, and clarify who the woman who fears the Lord is. What does she do day in and day out? She is swelling up with magnificence, and she is growing stronger. Right? So I wrote it this way. It's in essence like Solomon is saying, she is a force to be reckoned with. Dot, dot, dot. In goodness, magnificence, and in honor. Right? So, hey ladies, you heard it today. Be a force to be reckoned with. But for good, and for God's glory, for magnificence, and for goodness. Right? Now, don't cut me out. All right, the first little half. Now, pastor said I could be a force to be reckoned with. Ha, ha, ha. No, that's not what it said. Defined by good, magnificence, glorifying God, greatness. Right? All right. Let's go on. In verses 11 and 12, and then 28 and 29 are kind of the encapsulating ideas of this middle section. Let's read those. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Verse 12. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And then verse 20 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Verse 29. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Lemuel's mother rightly starts her comments and ends her comments in this major section, this main body of this passage, by saying that this type of lady, the one who is excellent, the one who fears the Lord, who is defined by strength and dignity, who's a consistent creator, who's generous, a provider, and all of these things, is one who rightly surpasses them all. Right? And so she's saying, hey bud, my son, I know you're the king, but this is your target. Like, this is what you should be looking for in a queen. This is what you should be looking for, right? And so when we get to the point, we're at the point in the service where we've kind of looked at the entire proverb, and so we transition into the application. And really, this today lends itself for two layers of application. There's a general layer, and then there's a specific layer. And the general layer applies to all of us. And so I know we've been talking about the excellent wife and what that, how Lemuel's mother defines that for her husband. But the reality is there's a sense in which this message applies to all of us. Because Proverbs, the entire book, is about wisdom. And it is about the defining differences between right living or righteousness and folly. And throughout the book, the author, Solomon, has called on wisdom as this figure that people should follow after. Everybody. Men, women, boys, girls, children, senior adults, in the middle, you know. That wisdom leads to godly living. And that's kind of the entire book. Chapter 1, verse 7 is kind of the theme of the book. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what's the reverse? Righteous people love wisdom and instruction. And that's kind of the nature of the whole book. And so in one sense, the general application of this entire message for all of us is, this is what wisdom, i.e. right living, looks like when it's applied specifically to our lives. So we can look at it this way. If we were to be wise in the Lord, what would it look like on a day-to-day basis? It would mean all of us were consistently creating. Again, to use another cliche, you're either a maker or a taker. You're either making or you're taking. Now, back in the day, the way we would describe this to teenagers is, we would say it this way, don't be a leech. What do leeches do? Take and take and take and take, literally. Don't be a taker, be a maker, right? That would be something that all of us could take out of this message is, hey, wisdom applied in my life is, I ask the question, am I consistently creating good and holiness and righteousness, not only in my life, but am I emanating that out into the world around me? It might be, hey, am I a generous giver? Because wisdom applied is being a generous giver in my words, in my gifts, my physical, tangible things that I have. Am I prepared? Does dignity and strength define my life? All of those things are how wisdom applies to every single one of us. And so in one sense, there's a general application to all of us. Am I wise? And has that translated into the way that I live? Because it should. Am I wise in the Lord? Has the Lord's righteousness and goodness and wisdom filled my life, my mind, and my actions, such that my actions look different than they did back yonder? They should. All right, but there's also a sense in which this passage applies specifically. So we'll look at three groups: ladies, young men, and dads or men. Here we go. So, ladies, I think there's two ways that this specifically applies to you this morning. And it comes in the form of two questions. Number one, does godly wisdom, as defined in this passage, describe your life? Right? Could those around you legitimately say, hey, yes, she is an excellent wife, based off of Lemuel's mother's idea, like this wisdom, how wisdom is like. Do you fit that category? Well, you got to answer that question, okay? Is wisdom applied in the way it's applied here? Does that look like the way my life looks on a day-to-day basis? But here's the other thing I think this applies to you. All right, listen to me. All right, remember, whose words are these? Lemuel's mother's. And who is she speaking them to? Her son. Listen to me. What words of wisdom are you giving your children that will last a lifetime? Okay? You might be like, well, I've given them a lot, and they just ain't listening to it. I didn't ask how they were responding, okay? That's a different story. All right, well, that's another sermon. Today it's, what words of wisdom are you giving your children that will last a lifetime? I hope you're giving them a lot. That's exactly what Lemuel's mother's doing here. All right, young men, teenagers, here we go. What characteristics are you looking for in someone that you want to spend your time, energy, and effort with? Hey, look at me. You're going to spend time with somebody. What characteristics are you looking for in that person? Might I remind you, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But the one who fears the Lord is to be praised. Does the person, young men, does the young lady that has caught your eye, do these characteristics apply to her? If you say no, 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 and no,
ooh,
that might not work out well for you in the end. You might want to rethink those decisions before you get too far down the road. Okay? Just being real with you. All right, men, dads, here's where it applies to us, right? Because in verses 28 and 29, Adam, can you pull those back up for me? 28 and 29. Read those again just for a second. What does it say here? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So men, let me ask you a question. When your wife displays the characteristics of an excellent wife, are you making sure she knows it? I hope so. That's what happens here, right? So you need to be openly, not just say, oh, well, she knows it. Well, if you don't say it, she don't know it, right? No, nobody's a mind reader in here, right? So men, husbands, are you adequately praising your wife for her good and godly character and doing it so in front of others, especially your kids? I hope so. So see, this passage applies not just to moms. It applies to all of us. Because all of us should be allowing godly wisdom to not just be here, but it affects how we live our life. And the characteristic, those five things that we looked at, should define all of us, not just the ladies. And every one of us has some specific things we can learn from this passage. And I hope we'll take those to heart as we go through the week.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.